Sawadee kap, guys. So happy Monday, and hopefully your weekend was great. And this weekend isn't too stressful with the election coming up tomorrow on November 3rd. But nonetheless, hopefully you guys got out there and cast your vote. And just remember, one thing I always want to remind people is that never, never put your whole entire life, your vision, into the hands of part-time employees. Okay. I'm a firm believer that we need to take care of ourselves. We need to be better to each other. At least, we're not going to all be friends, but we should have an understanding of and listen to each other. And I think that's the key to correcting a lot of what's wrong in this world. And until we get to that point as a collective and stuff, it's going to be a struggle. But but to rely on two individuals that are just basically, temporary, part-time, whatever you want to call it, government employees. And, it doesn't make a whole lot of sense. So again, at the end of the day, we need to take care of each other. And in order to do that, need to have that understanding and listen to each other. So, but anyways, jumping into my podcast here today. And one of the things I just kind of want to talk about is that, traditional arts, as in like, martial arts, internal arts, that sort of thing. In today's day and age, as we look for things to kind of help us through, the tough times and everything like that, if you look at Eastern arts as an example, centuries ago, the basic foundations that they laid out, for their disciplines and so forth, they weren't magic, but they did work if you applied them consistently. And I look at today, where we're at with social media and everything. And social media is a very powerful tool to use and get your message across. But what I see more and more of, and I've been seeing this for years, is that it's more about flash, in a lot of cases. The more insane the trick that you can do in a video or whatever, the more likes you get, the more follows you get, and everything like that. And a lot of that, especially when it comes down to martial arts per se, there's a lot of, and I'll admit that there's a lot of things that I see that are, okay, that's kind of cool. But at the end of the day, outside of, the fancy and the flash and all that stuff, what is it really, what does it really benefit to the person watching that? And, I'm old school. For me, the foundation is like key. And, the foundation sometimes of an art isn't the most sexiest thing, if you will. But if it works and it benefits you, who cares? We've gotten so, to a degree, we've gotten so far away from, focusing on our foundation and then building up with practical applications from there to, hey, I need to have 10,000 followers on Instagram. I need to have a ton of likes. I got to have my views going through the roof. I get paid to do this, blah, blah, blah. As a social influencer, which I am not, and not aspiring to be, but for people out there that are earning money from it, I get it. I understand it in this day and age. A lot of people are making money how they can. But at the same time, I think it cheapens the product that's existed for centuries, because a lot of traditional martial arts and even internal arts are, it's kind of like a dying breed almost. And because a lot of there's For a lot of things, there's not a lot of people carrying it on. One of the things I understood, because I experienced Muay Thai, okay, and I learned Muay Thai here stateside. I love Thailand. I've been to Thailand and so forth. But one of the things I understood, and my information maybe is wrong, but one of the information that I understood is that traditional Muay Thai, as far as how it was taught and everything, the foundation of it is dying out over there. And now you can go over there and you can watch Muay Thai fights, you can go to Muay Thai gyms and so forth. But the way, my understanding is the way that it was taught way back, and the way that it's taught now are just two different sides of the coin. And, you know, there's not a lot of traditional, masters or teachers, if you will, teaching the art the way it was intended. And, you know, a lot of that from what I was told was because of the new generation coming up, they're not involved in Muay Thai the way, say, the family members or, you know, people that came before them were, and everything. You know, it's a whole different breed over there. And that's sad because, you know, from a Western standpoint, and I had a little bit of Thai influence in with that. But again, you're not going to get the full Thai experience unless you literally train in Muay Thai or train in Thailand, excuse me. But it was enough here to really, you know, the way it was taught to me was enough to make me appreciate the art and want to look and study into it more. And now I don't practice regularly like I used to, you know, in a gym and all that stuff, because it just, my schedule's just gotten so much busier and so forth. And if I'm going to do something, I definitely, you know, I want to commit to it, you know, and Muay Thai, to learn Muay Thai and practice it over and over and get better at it, literally is not something that you can half-ass and expect to have any kind of success with. But what I find myself now doing is diving more into, you know, the original foundations of Muay Thai and, you know, bringing myself back, you know, into, you know, my earlier meditations I used to do like 20 years ago and stuff, and, you know, mixing the two together, learning the forms. I have more time to learn the forms now. I don't feel pressured or anything like that. And, you know, I'm actually enjoying learning this way, you know, and you just kind of know who to follow, who to, you know, I mean, there's a lot of information out there and stuff, but literally very, very little information on the traditional forms of Muay Thai, if you will. And, you know, when you run across, you know, that, you know, information, to me, it's just fascinating to, you know, learn in a way that you probably, you know, I can't, you know, there's probably a few places in Thailand that are very traditional, you know, out in the middle of nowhere. But most of the places you'll probably encounter there are based around money, you know, and stuff like that. You know, and here stateside, Muay Thai is still kind of an obscure form. I would say it's more prevalent than it was, say, maybe 10, 15, 20 years ago, but it's still not like mainstream. I still find people that have never heard of it or are vaguely familiar with it or kind of confuse it with kickboxing and stuff. So, but learning the traditional foundations and stuff and just the movements and the forms and practicing those, you know, I love it. And I wish more people would be open to taking the time to learn an art form, you know, in its original concept, in its original form, you know, how it was meant to be taught. And, you know, so it's not to say that I'm now going to run out and, be this full-on Muay Thai teacher or whatever and stuff, but, you know, it's, I take those forms now, and I'm big into Qigong, okay? Qigong is another one that, you know, Chinese, and there's other offshoots too, like there's Korean Qigong and so forth, but, you know, Qigong originated in China, and there's a lot of original forms that were, brought forth, and created and so forth, that are now, you know, they still exist, but they're, you know, they get modified a little bit. And that's to be expected, I guess, you know, with anything. So, but what I like doing is taking that traditional Muay Thai and bringing it into the fold with Qigong and stuff. Kind of a really unique best of both worlds type of thing. But with, I'm kind of losing my track here a little bit, but with traditional martial arts and traditional internal arts, you know, I believe, that, yeah, I mean, there is really a benefit to pass the old foundations along to a new world of people and get them away from, you know, their first visual of something is like, oh, something flashy or over the top. And I'm like, yeah, I get excited. I want to do this. I can go kick somebody's butt or whatever. You know, martial arts, you know, I don't want to say this. There's another side to martial arts that does not have to be from a violent standpoint, and it can still be very beneficial. Muay Thai, you know, the brutal ballet, the art of eight limbs, and, you know, if you Google, or excuse me, YouTube, Muay Thai, most likely you're going to come up on fights that are just going to look brutal, nasty cuts, that sort of thing for the most part. You know, that's, if somebody is not familiar with the art of Muay Thai, and I direct them to YouTube to kind of give them a visual, and that's the first thing that they see, depending on the individual, or at least the ones that kind of like gravitate towards me, it's usually going to be a firm no after they see anything like that. Even if I approach, you know, Muay Thai with them in a whole different way, I've kind of like lost half the battle and have to try to get them back, you know. And I understand that because not everybody, I mean, 1% of the population is okay with being kicked or hit in that sort of manner. You know, I mean, I went through it and I learned a lot and I don't regret anything of it. But yeah, it does. You have to have the mindset for it. And even if you do have the mindset for it, it's just like at a certain point, you do get tired of, you know, the bruises and all that fun stuff. But if you love something, you tolerate it. And if you know that you're learning something valuable from it, you'll continue with it. So, but I think a lot of people, and then which brings me to my next thing here. When it comes to anything that people have to take time to learn, you know, a martial art, an internal art, they all take a specified amount of time, and it's all dependent on each individual and how many times per week or day, you know, whatever you train and practice, you know, but it takes some time to learn, you know, to become, it needs to become like a second job. And I don't mean you have to look at it as like a job, like, oh God, I gotta go, you know, train Muay Thai today, or I gotta go do karate today or whatever it is. But it needs to be treated the same as, and it becomes another aspect of your life that's a priority because, you know, there is a benefit to you. Whatever that benefit is, you have to bring that benefit to the forefront and just lock that in front of you and know that, yes, I'm doing this, you know, and it's benefiting me mentally, physically, or, you know, whatever your benefit that you find is for that. And, but I find that a lot of people today, you know, adults, maybe kids to a lesser extent, but adults, you know, they've just committing. So they have commitment issues. and, you know, I mean, it's bad enough that people have commitment issues in relationships and stuff like that. But, you know, for a martial art, you know, or an internal art as well, there should be no question. If you see something and you try it just for one time and you find a benefit to it, you're like, oh my God, I feel so much better. I feel this, and this is really amazing. And yet afterwards, when you're away from it, it just kind of falls off. And then your mind is back into whatever day-to-day normalcy that you have going on, and you completely forgot about it. You know, and don't follow up with, you know, attending another practice right away or whatever, I get frustrated with that because, you know, it's tough enough in this world with everything going on and not having an outlet sometimes, or a proper outlet, I should say, and not benefiting yourself mentally and physically in some way. So when you do discover something that you like and that you feel, you know, a real change within you, even just with trying it once, and you don't keep up with that, even if everything is kind of given to you to do this, why are you self-sabotaging yourself? You're not allowing yourself to grow and be able to heal when anxiety, stress, things outside of your control come in and, you know, affect you. You're basically saying, I don't have time for this. I've got such a busy schedule. And, you know, it's just like, I don't understand that, because yes, we all have different schedules. You know, some of us have kids, some of us are single parents. I could come up with 1,001, you know, different excuses to why you don't have time. But really, it's like your budget, you know. I can't afford this, you know, I can't afford that, or, you know, whatever. Well, how do you know? Did you sit down and put your budget in front of you and look at where all your main bills are, and then all the extra spending activity, where that's coming from? I guarantee you, when you do that, you will find whether you can truly afford something or not. You know, you might not be able to, but then you might find that, well, these little bills down here or bills are just, you know, things I shell out money for. Well, if I take this away, I can afford it now. And it's no different than your time, your day-to-day time. Yes, you have a job. You might have kids and all that good stuff. But if you know, nobody's asking you to train 5 hours a day or practice 5 hours a day. But if I come up to you and, like, if I have you for a Qigong workshop session and I run you through the foundations and you love it and you want to do it, and I'm like, okay, are you willing to commit to an hour per day? 9 times out of 10, most people are going to look at me and say, I don't have an hour a day to do this. And then what my response is going to be is not that, well, you know, okay, I understand that, you know, you're busy, you've got kids, you got family, you got work, whatever excuse that you gave me that might come along with that. My response is going to be, I asked you if you had an hour per day. You told me no. Your mind went right to the place where most people's minds are going to go, is that you're going to take that hour that I told you and you're thinking of it in a block of time. Meaning that, I got to carve out, you know, 5 a.m. to 6 a.m. or noon to 1 p.m. or 6 p.m. to 7 p.m. No, I'm asking you simply for an hour per day. Now, whether you break that down into 2, 3, or 4 sessions throughout the day, I don't care. But everybody should be able to do an hour per day when you break it down like that. A lot of us, we throw up, you know, roadblocks in our own way. I don't have time. I can't afford to do it. Whatever, you know, the excuse is. And we let that be defeat us. We end up getting held back. And then we never move forward again with experiencing it, you know, or diving deeper into it, just because we've already put that block up and don't have it. And then we're off on our merry way. So, you know, an hour per day is not that much for something that is beneficial to you. Okay. Now, this an hour per day for Qigong. Now, if you're learning a martial art, if you go to a traditional gym to learn a martial art, okay, you're probably going to be there for an hour or 2 hours. You know, it just depends on what's going, you know, how the classes are structured and stuff like that, or what they're trying to teach. And so with that, yeah, it might be hard to do an hour every day. You know, it just depends. I did 2.5 hours per day in the evenings, you know, Monday through Friday, and then would do typically 1 to 2 hours on a Saturday morning. And that was my schedule for, oh, the better part of a couple years and stuff. And but again, you know, I had a goal with it. I knew the benefits to myself. I knew I loved it. So I'm like, I made the concessions to make Muay Thai, you know, a part of my life. And it's no different with Qigong, you know, although Qigong is beautiful because I can practice. I don't have to be in a studio. I don't have to be any place outside of my house. I can go to a park. I could do Qigong waiting in line for the bathroom in a public place if I wanted to. You know, it's that, you know, that's like the beautiful thing about Qigong is like you have no excuse with that particular art, why you cannot find time to practice. You know, stop overthinking things, stop automatically putting up that roadblock and saying that I can't, I can't, I can't, I can't. Because Eric here gets aggravated, aggravated, aggravated with hearing that. Because we all do. But it comes down to what do you want to make as a priority in your life? And I think a lot of people don't quite know outside of, like, say, family and stuff and football on Sundays or whatever, you know, what they really feel needs to be a priority. You know, now going to their local fitness center or whatever, a lot of times, yeah, people will make that a priority. You know, it's like, oh, I got to get to the gym. I got to keep this up, da da da. If you can do that, because I have some of the same people that are on that train, you know, that I cross paths with. And when I bring up Qigong, you know, it's like, oh, I'd love to do it, but I just, you know, when I follow up with them, it's like, hey, did you follow the foundation program that I have out there for you guys as well after taking, you know, a workshop with me? Oh, you know, it's like, I've been busy with school. I've been busy with this. I just don't have time. You went to the gym this week, though, didn't you? Yeah. I went to, you know, the fitness center, you know, 2, 3 days out of the week or this past week and stuff. How long did you spend there? About an hour or so, roughly, you know, maybe a little bit over, a little bit under. Okay. You had to drive there. Yep. Okay. How long did that take? You know, it's 10 minutes, 15 minutes, whatever. Okay. That's one way coming back, you know, depending on traffic, all that stuff. And you couldn't find time to fit in Qigong. No, I just, you know, you were home. I don't care if you have studies. I don't care if you have kids. You know, I don't care, you know, whatever excuse that you want to give me, there is a form of Qigong that you can practice in your home. Doesn't require you to travel anywhere. Doesn't require any equipment. Doesn't require a babysitter to watch your kids. Okay. You know, Qigong is everywhere. And it's a benefit to you mentally and physically. Martial arts, if you strip away the current version and go back to the Founding Fathers Foundation, if you will, is a benefit to you. That you can practice in your own home, in a park, wherever. Again, you don't have to go anywhere. You don't, look, most people in this world with a martial art, okay? Most people in this world do not want to fight. They do not want to become a professional fighter. They don't want to, you know, kick a heavy bag, you know, 100 times in, you know, a minute or five, whatever, you know. They have a program that works for them in their gym that they do, lifting or whatever, CrossFit, you know, and that sort of thing. But they need to work on themselves mentally as well. And they need to work on their breathing as well. And with the martial arts side of things, again, if you take it to the original foundations and you teach the movements, just bit to bit, you learn them, you know. You learn how to breathe properly through each one. And then you get to a point where you just go through the motion and you get faster with the movements and you practice them, or you can slow them down, but you're learning the movements. You're taking the time to do that. There is a benefit in that. You don't have to learn these arts in a traditional, or excuse me, in a current sense where it's all about fighting and competition. Nothing against that. I love it. I love watching competitions and stuff, you know, and everything. But there is still a benefit there without learning it. Now, are you going to learn the entire catalog of, you know, or are you going to, let's put it this way. My mind's running, you know, faster than my mouth or whatever, but there is a benefit to foundational Qigong and foundational Muay Thai. And just practicing the movements and the techniques and the breathing without the sparring, without hitting pads, bags, all that good stuff. Again, I've got nothing against it. I came up that way with it. You know, I'll still hold pads for people if they want to and all that good stuff. Just, you know, if they want to have the, you know, the feeling of sparring or, you know, bag and pad work and stuff like that. But really, going back to the arts, you know, it's all about discipline. It's about mindset. It's about, you know, movement. You know, Muay Thai forces your body to move in ways that it hasn't. Qigong forces your body to move in ways that it hasn't, you know. And I'll back up a little bit and say this. You have moved in those ways, but as an adult, do you remember when the last time was that you moved in those kind of ways? Yes, you do. It was when we were kids. Okay. When we were kids, you know, our bodies were, I mean, we felt like indestructible. We didn't care. We did things, bumps, bruises, everything else. We played and we imitated animals. We, you know, threw ourselves on the ground. We, you know, we just did a lot of things as kids that we forgot about as adults. You know, we stopped moving in a way where we imitated animals and, you know, crawling. We learned to crawl. We get away from it. As soon as we became able to walk, it's like, oh, we abandoned crawling. There's a huge benefit to crawling, okay? So here's the thing. Never, when you look at any type of martial art, when you look at any type of internal art, think of it this way. Strip it down to the basics and just know it's similar to taking you back to your childhood, allowing you to move again in a better way and learning this stuff in a different way that would be acceptable to you, you know, if you don't want to learn in a martial arts studio or, you know, whatever. But at the end of the day, in order to bring this back into the fold of your life, you have to make time. You have to stop with the excuses. And you have to really open up, relax, breathe, and experience it and allow yourself to feel the benefits of these arts to bring them into your life. Okay. And if you allow yourself to feel that, I guarantee you, you will be overjoyed with your first session, so to speak. And because you're keeping an open mind moving forward, it'll become a priority in your life, okay? So again, you know, there is a benefit to learning everything stripped down. You know, does not have to be learned how the main way is, or, you know, how the current form is and stuff. It just depends on what your goal is at the end of the day, you know, and stuff. But make time for yourself and, you know, invite something that's very traditional, that's kind of dying out, if you will, into your life, you know, versus going for everything that's shiny and flashy all the time. I guarantee you, traditional over shiny and flashy will benefit you more in the long run. And don't worry about it if you post something on social media, if it doesn't get 1,000 likes just because it's traditional in nature and people don't understand it. You know, I have still an uphill battle with, you know, Muay Thai and Qigong. You know, it's getting a little bit better, but again, it's still foreign stuff for some people. So yeah, there's not a lot of positive, I won't say positive, but there's not a lot of, if I put something extreme and flashy up there, you know, about these and stuff, some kind of move or whatever that looks cool and awesome when you do it, hell yeah, it's probably going to get a lot of likes. But at the end of the day, I don't care about that stuff. It looks great. Yeah, I can be entertained by some of it, but, you know, I'm just taking you, I want to take people back to the, you know, back to the old ways. That's what I truly want to do, you know. They're simple. It may not seem like a lot, but they are, the old ways are very beneficial, especially with, you know, as much as I, have, you know, dive, you know, into meditation and so forth. All this stuff works together. And when you combine the meditation, the Qigong, whatever your martial art of choice is, you are creating a very powerful and resilient you. You know, with all those things, if you practice them on a regular basis. And that's where you want to be. You know, you want to get to that point to where, you know, whatever life throws at you, whatever next pandemic level thing comes up, you are like so prepared for it. And you know how to work through this, you know, because mentally you're just strong, you're there and everything. You're not freaking out and buying 5 years worth of toilet paper and stockpiling it in your house. There's no, you know, there's no sense in that. So, the traditional ways, I firmly believe, are the ways to get us back to there. It's a hard sell. It might not be the most attractive, but I really don't see any other way of achieving it without going back to the basics in some form, okay? But you know, it's just, you know, I think where society is, it's just crazy how times have changed. And, you know, thinking back to when I was a kid, I'm 47, and, you know, thinking back to my childhood, how things were versus today's kids, you know, and then thinking, looking back onto my parents' childhood, you know, what I've told that they went through and what I can see in photos and all this other stuff. And you read about, you know, and then their parents, you know, and so forth. You look at the work ethic, you look at the, just the traditional ways. And then, you know, from then, and just, you can see a pattern over the years where it's just kind of changed and changed. And now, you have a society that's being brought up in a whole different way. And it's kind of a sensitive society, more of a feminine energy, if you will. But, and I'm not knocking it, you know, it's, change is good. We've spent a ton of time in the masculine energy of society for long periods. So, but this is a whole nother podcast to get into, but, But we see things are at, you know, traditional things have just kind of fallen off. And it's not just, you know, martial arts and internal arts and stuff. It's there's more to it. I mean, if you look at dating, the traditional way of dating is just gone. It's like, oh, Netflix and chill, you know, which is that's date one. And it's like, really, people, it's like, what do you expect to happen on date one? If it's that, you're just not going to be invested in each other. And it's a hookup and you're going to go your separate ways. You know, if you really want to get to know somebody, you know, I mean, I don't know, bring back courtship, you know, kind of, you know, I'm not saying that there wasn't any kind of, you know, quote unquote, anything similar to Netflix and chill back in the 50s or whatever. I'm sure there was, you know, but it's just more prevalent in today's society. But again, back to, you know, we just need to, and I'm not saying across the board, we got to go back on everything to the traditional ways, because realistically that's just not going to happen. In order to do that, you would have to get rid of, you know, the internet, social media, and all this other fun stuff. And technology is a benefit, so we don't want to get rid of that. Okay, it's a benefit if you know how to use it. So basically meaning that you control it, it does not control you. And unfortunately with technology, it controls you more times than not because you allow it. But use technology as a benefit to better yourself, okay? You'll learn how to do that, it'll be much better. And plus with technology, I can't knock it either, because I've met a lot of amazing people that I wouldn't have met otherwise. So it does have its benefits. And especially too, if you're researching traditional ways of, you know, Muay Thai or Qigong, or whatever art that you're, you know, diving into. You know, because without it, literally, you're traveling to these, you know, exotic locales, which is not a bad thing, but it's not always financially feasible for everybody. And then, you know, with the current environment, you know, COVID and all that stuff, a lot of countries aren't letting people from other countries in, or you have to self-quarantine. And, you know, so it's just kind of a mess right now. So, yeah, you know, I believe that everybody should just kind of try to find something that resonates with them that they can bring into their life for the new year. So use, you know, and I hate using New Year's resolution goals because it's just like they, you know, they spike up and then they drop off. And you have to work on yourself year round, not just, you know, start a whole new block at the new year. It's a good gauge if you're looking to start a new project or something like that, but ultimately you need to, you know, just find a benefit to this, you know, to incorporate this all year round without having, without creating a delay in allowing yourself to, you know, heal and improve and so forth using, you know, these different disciplines and stuff like that. So, yeah, but so I just wanted to kind of touch base on this today for a little bit and put it out there and hopefully maybe give you guys some ideas that you of something just different that you want to bring into your life that's not the normal gym, you know, and work on your mindset a little bit more, maybe work on your breathing, you know, find an internal or external, you know, / martial art to welcome into your life and stuff. Because really, as we come out of this year and, well, you know, close this year, basically, you know, we're tired, we're burnt out, we're frustrated, you know, it's just been a hell of a ride this year. And, you know, November 3rd is going to put the stamp on a lot of things, depending on which direction we wind up going in, you know, for the next 4 years. And guaranteed, some people are going to be happy and excited. Some people are going to be mentally just checked out, fried, and you feel dejected and all this other fun stuff. So we don't want to get to that point, though. You know, so you don't ever want to be in a place where if your person that you voted for didn't get into office, and you don't want to crash out and be like, oh, great, we're screwed for 4 years and this isn't going to work and da, da, da. Don't buy into the hype. Don't allow the media to kind of like influence your mindset. Don't allow social media. Don't allow your friends or anybody else. Everybody's got an opinion. That's a beautiful thing. Opinions are what creates discussions. Opinions are what creates a unique us. But we shouldn't force our opinions on other people. And unfortunately, that's what's happening. And it causes a lot of, a lot of stress and, you know, people instigate others and stole force. We need to get away from that. But in a way that you do is you learn to strengthen your mind through discipline. Okay. And once your mind is strengthened, all right, you become more aware. You see life for what it really is. It's called enlightenment. Okay. And then you can walk through life and know how to manage a lot of different things. And this stuff will not affect you like it does now, you know? We need to get there. So if this podcast does anything to whoever listens to it and stuff, just find what's going to work for you. You know, whether it be meditation, whether it's Qigong, whether it's Tai Chi, yoga, a martial art of some sort. Find something to bring into your life and practice it on a regular and make it work for you in a beneficial way. I guarantee you, you will be happier in the end. All right. So anyways, I hope you guys enjoyed this little podcast here today, and I'm going to tend to my dog that you can probably hear that is growling in the background at something. But I hope you guys enjoy the rest of your evening and rest of your week as well. And I will catch up with you guys next week, Monday. All right. Take care. Have a good night.